I want to read just a little bit from over in the book of Deuteronomy. A lot of things here that I've considered to have great spiritual significance and great spiritual value. And in reading and preaching on them, we don't have time to really go into it the way that God goes into it with us. But there are a lot of things that we can go into. Chapter 24, let's read just a little bit. When a man taketh a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled. Well, that is abomination before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. When a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year, and shall cheer up his wife which he hath taken. No man shall take the neither or the upper millstone to pledge, for he taketh a man's life to pledge. If a man be found stealing any of his brethren of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him, or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put away evil from among you. Take heed in the plague of leprosy, that thou observe diligently, and do according to all that the priest, the Levite, shall teach you. As I commanded them, so ye shall observe to do. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt. When thou dost lend any brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. And if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment and bless thee, and shall be righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. At his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and sitteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondsman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the bar again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. There be a controversy between men, and they come under judgment, that the judges may judge them. Then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face according to his faults by a certain number. 40 stripes he may give him and not exceed. Lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of a husband unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which he bears shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel. And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, my husband's brother refuseth to raise up a name in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother. Then the elders of the city shall call him and speak unto him. And if he stand to it and say, I like not to take her, then shall his brother's wife come unto him in the presence of the elders and loose his shoe from off his foot and spit in his face and shall answer and say, so shall it be done unto that man that will not build up his brother's house. And his name shall be called in Israel the house of him that hath his shoe loose. When men strive together one with another, and the wife of the one draweth near for to deliver her husband out of the hand of him that smiteth him, and putteth forth her hand and taketh him by the secrets, then thou shalt cut off her hand. Thine eye shall not pity her. Thou shalt not have in any thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight. A perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. And it shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, to place his name there. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord thy God. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord our God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place and hath given to us this land, even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which thou, O Lord, hath given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God has given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase the third year, which is the year of tithing, and hath given it unto the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and also have given them unto the Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all thy commandment, which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof from any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead, but I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest, unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his way, and to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he has promised thee that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise, and in name, and in honor, and that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he has spoken. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee. Therefore it shall be when ye be gone over Jordan that ye shall set up these stones, which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day. Thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. When ye are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin, and those shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Cursed be he that sitteth light by his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. And all of the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, amen. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give thee rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandment of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall thou be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doing whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilent cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off of the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them, and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grow at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longings for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known. And there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whether the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee in either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind or flock of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for her delicatenesses and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young ones that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuances. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And he shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And he shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were evening, and at evening thou shalt say, Would God it were morning, for the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. All right, that's reading quite a bit of scripture. I want to read that because it has to do with the blessing and the curse. He told Israel, he said, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. If you'll notice, he says in the 47th verse, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things, that these things come upon you. So then we see that in that we fail to have joy in serving God, then we get into trouble. Isn't that right? That's when we get into trouble. It's because we do not serve the Lord with joy. We come to the house of God because we feel like we don't want to go to hell, really don't want to go to the house of God, have no real interest in going to the house of God, but because we know that we will die or something will happen to us, then we go to the house of the Lord. We pray, we fast, we try to conform to the ways of holiness, or the ways of God who is the Spirit of holiness. We try to do that. All because we are afraid of God. Are we afraid of the judgments of God? But see, the Lord said the very fact that we don't have a joy in serving God, that's why that these things come upon us. Solomon said that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So then it is true that when your heart isn't merry, then you have a lot of problems. He named all of these plagues, and he tells us that we are subject to these things because we are not living a holy, godly, overcoming life. So then the Lord looks down upon us. He sees that we're not living that kind of life, and thus we become subject to sorrow, to sickness, and to death. So he tells us that if we would serve God, then the blessings of the Lord would be upon us. We would be blessed in our storehouses. They would be filled with food, not rotten, not something that could kill us, something that could cause us problems. You know, all over the different parts of the nation, they're having to pull things off of the shelf. I just heard of something I believe it was this morning, that they pulled a couple of things off the shelf. I believe one of them is Jell-O. And they're pulling different things off because all of a sudden they find out that they're poison. They find out something's wrong with them. And they're killing people. And see, the curse is dropping upon us in the store. Now, if you notice this right here, it says the curse of the womb, the curse of the body. That is, the curse of the fruit of your body. Little ones coming forth in paralysis, coming forth with heart diseases and mental afflictions. These things, cursed is the fruit of the womb because of your evil doings. He told Israel, he said, Israel, if you don't do right, I'll put a yoke of iron upon you, and I will cause your enemy to overcome you. The Bible records that later, because Israel did not do right, God put a yoke of iron upon them. And though a false prophet rose up and said, nay, the Lord will not do it. Got a lot of false prophets in the world today that says, go on, God loves you, God's good, everything's going to be right. But I'm telling you something, folks, if you don't do what God says, you're going to wind up in a bad condition. God is no respecter of person. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Grace is given to us, and a lot of times we get confused about that. And we feel that because grace is given to us, that's taken away the curse. And we are the people that don't have to worry about anything. But I want you to know that that has nothing to do with it. Grace is given to us that we might prepare our heart so that we can escape these things when God lifts His grace. So that we'll be righteous and walking in His way. So that we'll have the right kind of understanding and the right kind of heart. That when grace is lifted, all of these plagues will come down upon the people that do wickedly. And we as a people will escape because we've conformed to His ways. So then don't misconstrue God's grace. So we look at it and we see that God brought Israel to a place to where God took Israel down into Babylon and left them there in Babylon for 70 years because of their wickedness. He told them that He would do that. He said, "You stray away from Me and I will do that." And then He tells them on down farther. He said, "The siege will be so great and the calamities of Israel will be so great that a mother will eat her own children." And it came to pass, the Bible said, during the time of the great siege and the king walked upon the wall, a woman screamed out. And the woman said unto him, "O king, help me." And the king said, "In what way can I help you?" She said, "Because this woman and I had an agreement that we would eat my child as of yesterday or before or whatever, and then today we would eat her child. And we ate my child, and now, O king, she will not divide her child with me." And the king rent his clothes. He was so tore up. But what was it? It was because of sin. The preacher preached. The prophets prophesied. The word of the Lord came. God gave His word. He gave the law. But they wouldn't listen at it. You know, that isn't for us, someone would say. Brother Pike, that is not for us. We don't have to worry about anything like that. I am different. I'm Baptist myself, and I'm Methodist, and I'm Presbyterian. And I belong to the Catholic Church, and I belong to the ecumenical move, and I belong to the charismatic order. And all of this isn't for me. This is for your flock. See, and so it is said to every God preacher that God sends. So it was said to every prophet that God sent. That's for Israel. That isn't for us. We don't have to worry about that. But yet the judgments continued to strike. It struck Israel. It struck the Philistines. It struck all that was around. And folks, Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's still striking today. And you may be haughty and you may be high-minded. You may program your mind in your own little way, with your own little thing. But I want you to know that your program is not good enough. What I've read to you from the Bible, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said these plagues that you're contending with here, Israel, He said not only will these plagues be brought upon you, but every other plague, as we would say in this day, that the doctors of the medical profession speaks of, those are the plagues of God that has come upon the people. Whatever the plagues are, they're falling on the people everywhere. There's not enough hospital beds to take care of them. There's not enough prison beds to take care of them. The thing has gotten into such a condition that everything is out of control and nobody knows what to do. And the Bible said the extension of it will be to the extent that there will be no healing medicines in that day. You know, we accredit healing to doctors. And we'll credit healing to medicines. But God said to show you one day that I'm the healer. That you can't place your confidence in the doctors. And you can't place your confidence in medicine. To show you that I'm the healer. In that day you can buy all the medicine that you want to. But there'll be no healing medicines in the land. Isn't it wonderful that God has given grace that He might give healing in herbs? But God is tired of people leaning upon the arm of flesh. God is tired of people running to the doctors, always going to the doctors. Every time they have a pain, some little something happened, they run to the doctor. You know, the Bible speaks of a man in the Old Testament that was spitting in the feet. And the Bible said he sought the physicians rather than God and he died. See, we need to seek God. We need to find out why that we are spitting. What's wrong with us? What are we doing? That's what we need to do. I don't see anything wrong with using medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I don't see anything wrong with a real doctor. If he'll be decent, stay away from the women, let the nurses work with the women and him work with the men when it comes to certain things, I don't see anything wrong with it. When they go beyond that, they are a devil. I don't see anything wrong with a physician. The Bible said the sick need a physician. But when people come to the place to where they won't serve God, and God has smitten them, and God has bruised them, and then they seek a physician, instead of seeking God, instead of asking the problem, the Bible said God smites, God binds up the wound, God afflicts, God kills, God makes alive. The Bible said, can evil come to a city, and I have not sinned it, saith the Lord? For the Bible emphatically states that God has created the good, God has created the evil, God has His way in both. God works all things after the counsel of His own will. God looks down from heaven, and God rules in the affairs of mankind. God lifts up one, God puts down another. So then when we realize this, and then we are afflicted in our body, God smites us or something happens, and instead of going to God, we run to the doctor. This thing has got God altogether disturbed, and God is tired of it. He's weary of it. He expects us to repent of our sins. He expects us to go on with Him. He expects us that when we are afflicted, when something happens to us, to turn to Him and repent and say, oh God, I'm sorry. What have I done, Jesus? Help me to straighten up my life and then go on with God that God may lift that thing off of us. See, that's what God expects of us. But when we don't do that and we try to push over it and we continue in our evil, continue in our sins, trying to go to a pill bottle, go through some kind of operation, all we're going to do is be smitten the more. And the Bible said a worse thing is going to come on us. So then these plagues is set before us. God has told us these things, and we've got to do something about it. When you have an affliction, and that affliction is of a long continuance, and you can't get rid of it, there's something wrong in your life. When you have an affliction, you can't shake the thing off, and you can't get rid of it, there's something wrong in your life. Going to the doctor isn't going to help it. Even if you happen to find a relief from that, then a worse thing will come upon you. Because He said, when you do evil, I will bring all of these afflictions upon you. Even those that's not written in this book. I'll bring the botch of Egypt. I'll bring the plagues of Egypt. I'll bring the emeralds. I'll bring all of these things. I'll curse the fruit of your body. I will curse the fruit of your ground. I will curse the cattle in the field. I will curse your storehouse. Everything will be cursed, He said. And there will be nothing but cursing vexations. When you go out, you'll feel tired and weary and worn and oppressed, and devils and demons will feel like a weight upon your minds and your spirits, and there won't be any joy. You will make much, you will bring it home, and I will blow upon it, and it will come to little, because you've let my house lay waste, and every man has run to his own house. And He said, you do all these things. You go, women want to dress out. They want to dress wrong. They don't want to dress according to godliness. They want to dress wrong. The lust that's burning on the inside of them. Like fire, it's burning inside of them. They can't keep clothing on. They can't wear decent clothes. You know, they can't dress decent. And because of that, God is going to burn them in the fire. Ladies say concerning the long dresses, we can't wear the long dresses like the women of old and dress according to holiness. This is the modern day. We've got to show our bodies. And they say it's wrong to have to wear the long dresses. They're too hot. But yet men usually wear their pants right down to their ankles. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. It might seem a little warm to you, but when God puts you in hell, long dresses or nothing else is going to help you. You're going to find out what it's like to be uncomfortable. You're going to find out what it's like because you didn't live like a lady and act like a lady and do like a lady. You're going to find out what's right and what's wrong. And as I say a lot of times, you're in heaven now. You're in heaven now. If you have a toothache, you run to the doctor. That is to the dentist. If you have a pain, you go to the doctor, you get a shot, whatever, everything's all right. You're in heaven now. There's more than one heaven, you know. First heaven, second heaven, Paul said, was caught up into the third heaven. You're in heaven now. And I say it so often, if you don't know that you're in heaven, you wait just a little while and some of you will be in hell. And then you'll be able to differentiate between what is heaven and what is hell. And you'll know that you've been in heaven. No healing medicines. God's fixing to make a change. America is guilty of everything that I've read in this book. They've transgressed everything in this book. Not only America, but the entire world has done it. Even Israel, the one that God gave the covenant to, they have transgressed. I've been over in Israel, and it's got to be a dirty, ugly, filthy place. And God's going to burn it just like all the rest. God's going to tear the walls down like all the rest, without respect of person. God has sent the gospel and the judgment upon the world. So then, when we think of these things, we should shake and we should tremble and we should fear. Because the minister is not some person up there playing a game. He's not up behind the sacred desk to play some kind of game. He isn't spending his life hollering at people and praying and fasting and trying to understand the Word of God and indoctrinate people just to play a game, just because it's something that he can do. I know that in the world today, there are a lot of false prophets, a lot of false preachers. And I know they're after worldly gain and fame and popularity, and they've made a game out of it. But a real true God ministry is not there for that purpose. A real true Christian is not trying to live a Christian life for that purpose. They're trying to live for God. They're trying to escape hell. They're trying to conform to God. They're trying to bring their minds into subjection to the understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they can be a light to others, and so that God will spare them in the day of the judgment. So then we see this awful, hideous thing that God speaks of. And I will bring these plagues upon you. And God promised that he would bring these plagues upon your children. All that's in the world today, he promised to bring the plagues upon them if they didn't repent of their sins, if they didn't love the Lord Jesus. To repent of your sins, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ according to the remission of sin. Not just anyway, not just any old thing will do with God. You can't just do any old way with God. You can't come up with some kind of preacher, hatch something out of seminary. You can't just be baptized anyway and expect God to allow you to do that. God has a program. God has the word. God said this way, and God wants it that way. And God isn't going to listen to a preacher with a PhD, and he isn't going to listen to Brother Pike. He isn't going to listen to you. He isn't going to listen to anybody else. He said, I sent you a commandment. I made a covenant with you. I gave you the word, and I'm expecting you to abide by it and do exactly what I told you to do. And then nothing else is going to do. So then, we go through the world today, traveling all over the world, such as we do, Betty and I, and we find out in every nook and corner of the world, it's always the same. There is a transgression of God's word. There is a practice of adultery. There is a practice of evil. As I said about the women dressing out the way they dress, you know, I know it probably wouldn't make any difference to some people, but did you know that if Brother Pike came up here tonight before this audience with my pants legs cut off above my knees, why, probably every one of you would get up and leave from here. No doubt you'd get up and leave. Though you're ever so religious, you'd probably get up and leave. But yet a woman will run around and show her legs all the time. And folks, I've said it a lot of times, if a man ought to cover his legs up, it's for sure that a woman ought to cover hers up. Amen. But nevertheless, that's the way it is in the world today. It's an adulterous generation, a sinful generation. And that's the way they do. That's the way they dress. The Bible said that a woman should not have anything that pertaineth or appertaineth to a man, not to dress as a man. But she dresses as a man with a regularity. She bobs her hair off with a regularity. She paints her face like a Jezebel. A woman, she'll hang rings in her ears. She'll do anything. She's hanging them in her nose now. I made the statement, they'll start hanging them in their nose, and they've done it. They're hanging them in their nose. As a matter of fact, I had spoke a long time back about one day they'd hang them in their nose. And it was just before that Brother Steve, just after Brother Steve went back to Houston, that he, no, it was just before. I'll get it right in a few minutes. Just before he went back to Houston, he was standing at my door, and he said, Brother Pike, he said, did you know when I stopped there in Houston, he said, I saw a woman with a ring in her nose. Said she was just bawling and having a fit. and said, "Help me, oh, please help me." And said she had a ring in her nose and all painted up. Young woman. I asked her what was wrong, he said. She said she was just brokenhearted and tore up. She just couldn't stand it because they wouldn't let her cat ride on the airplane. Now, see, people get so deluded, so carried away, so much in the vanity of their minds until they become beasts. They don't have good sense anymore. They don't have good reasoning anymore. Folks, you might take education for a guide. You may accept something that some teacher says for an absolute. But I want you to know there's only one stability of life, and that's not a psychiatrist. That's not approaching things from a psychological point of view. There's only one place of stability after sanity, and that's the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, it's been proven down through the years. That's the absolute in the earth. That's the only proof of sanity. That's the only proof of balance. If people keep on doing the way that they're doing, they're going to be back like the savages. As a matter of fact, as far as I'm concerned, they're worse than the savages already. Because the savages was there without any knowledge, and now they've come to knowledge and they've turned back to the things of the world and the beggarly elements of the world. And the Bible said they've been better off if they'd never known those things than again to be entangled in them. So far as I'm concerned, they are worse off than the savages. America is going heathen. The world is going heathen. All of the plagues that you can mention. So many plagues all over the world. So many plagues. The world is covered with plagues. Sorrow. Wars. Problems. Your children being taken away from you. Put in prison. Put in concentration camps. Said, and they'll take them away from you and you won't get to enjoy your children. And death, affliction is swallowing up the people. And adultery, there's hardly a decent woman in the world anymore. Hardly a decent man. They live like dogs anymore. Just anything. They don't marry. They don't care about marriage. They don't care about God. They don't care about standards. Brothers and sisters mating together. Daddies and mothers mating together. As it was in the days of Babylon when Nimrod married his own mother. The time when Reuben went up to his father's couch. All of this, he said, in the curse I set before you this day, a blessing and a curse. And he said, cursed is the one that doeth those things. And he said, I will smite thee with the madness of heart. I will smite thee with the plague of madness. People are going crazy. The pressure's on their minds. Their hearts are bursting. And they're having heart attacks. Things are happening. People are dying. Why? Because they have no joy in serving God. Their joy is going down to the beach and being nude. Their joy is boating. Their joy is hunting. Their joy is fishing. Their joy is making money. Their joy is spending. Their joy is riding. Their joy is buying. Their joy is the thoughts of prestige in this world. Being something in this life instead of going on with Jesus. That's their joy. They don't have any joy in serving God. Coming to the house of God, they very rarely clap their hands and make a joyful noise unto the Lord unless the preacher keeps saying, say praise the Lord or say something. When the Bible said, enter into my gates with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise. They don't forsake their sins. They don't turn away from their sins. See, America is cursed with a curse. She's under the great curse. That curse is upon America. The life is being pressed out of her. They don't look around and say, glory to God, look at the buildings that God has given us. They don't say, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful fields of grain. They praise their ability and their schools and their colleges. And they say, as Nebuchadnezzar, look what my hands have gotten me, they say. And now the handwriting is upon the wall, and God is about to smite. And God is about to tear down those impenetrable walls. He said, if God doesn't keep the city, the watchman riseth but in vain. And he said, the race is not to the swift, nor is the battle to the strong, but the battle is the Lord's. And so then we find ourselves not doing what God commanded us to do. He said, I will make you the head, and you shall lend to many nations. He said, if you will obey me and honor me. And Israel didn't do it. He said, if you don't do it, I'll make you the tail. And so he did. America has been ahead,
and America was a God-fearing nation, when Washington, Lincoln, the great men DeVoe, come over, even in the time in our early history when Congress printed the Bibles for the people, when Congress had them to print the Bibles instead of money, when it was said the Bibles are low and we must have Bibles, and the petition was presented and Congress presented the Bible so that everybody could have a Bible. Today they've got in reverse. They've gone in reverse. They don't even want you to have prayer in the school anymore. See, God will bring destruction upon America. God will bring destruction upon the nations of the world because they have rejected God. For I am the Lord God. I am the Lord God, saith the Lord. I stretched out the heavens all by myself. No one helped me. Was anyone there when I did it? He said, I know of no other God. I alone am God, he said, and I know of no other God. Can you tell me of another? So then he's God. And God is angry with the nations. God is upset because of what the nations have done. The curse is upon them. You know, even this revival that we're having right here, all this camp meeting that we're having right here, has a great spiritual value as to significance, as to the end of the American people, and as to the end of the world. And still, the people aren't repenting. Those that know about Jesus, you hear it on the radio, you hear it on the TV, you read it in the paper, but see, you're not repenting. And if you'll notice, people are beginning to be brainwashed to the extent of charismatic moves, denominationalism, and the whole world is beginning to get into a religious chaos. So close, the Bible said, that if it was possible, that it would deceive the very elect. If it wasn't for the fact that the elect could not be deceived, then the very elect would be deceived because of this religious move that's in the world today. So then God is doing something. God is trying to shake us. God is trying to move us. God is trying to talk to us. God is trying to program our minds so that we can be a fit subject for the Spirit of God and eternal life and the wonderful blessings of Christ. But we had rather drink. We had rather eat. We had rather ride. We'd rather buy. We'd rather look at our face in the mirror. We'd rather comb our hair. We'd rather powder our face and paint our lips and our toenails. And we'd rather run around like a bunch of heathens, half nude and whatever, knowing that God caught Adam and Eve like that and put them on clothes. As a matter of fact, they put on fig leaves and God said, that ain't good enough. What you need is clothes. That is, you need a coat. And he put them on a full covering. So then knowing that, in the world today, it's like that. But you still follow modernism. You still say, I'm not going to be embarrassed. I'm not going to fully dress like a lady. I'm not going to dress in that kind of clothing. I'm going to do the way that I feel to do. I'm not going to have people to mock me. Oh, let me tell you something. You're not very big. You're not very big in your mind. Somebody that can't suffer a little shame in the midst of a bunch of pigs for the sake of Christ, you're not very big. Somebody that can't dress like a lady and act like a gentleman in the presence of a bunch of dogs is not very big. If you admire the dogs and you want the dogs and the pigs to admire you more than God and sons and daughters of God, then you're not very big. You're small in your mind. So then, God tells us that all of these things are upon us. The whole world is in chaos. The whole world is in misery. Them that are boating, I've talked to them. I've been out there with them. I've reached them for God a lot of times. And those that are in the boating, those that are out there riding, those that are out there buying, those that have millions of dollars, I talk to them. And they're eat up with cancer. And they've got problems. And they're miserable. And they're trying their best to shake it off. And it looks to the world like they've got everything and having a good time, when there's nothing but plague after plague after plague. And did you know, just as quick as I counsel with them, I talk with them, did you know that they'll turn all of their wealth toward me and their heart toward me and want to come back again and again just to talk to me to get a little consolation? Folks, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It is true that God is a little more sparing with the world because the world out there doesn't understand. And where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. And God is a little more lenient with them because this is all they'll ever have. It's here in this world. But you know better. You're the sons and daughters of God. And God is bringing those things upon you. You're the one that's allowing it. The devil is saying, let me at them, let me at them. And God has to back off and make allowance. It isn't that God would hurt you. It isn't that God isn't love. It isn't that God doesn't want you to have the best. It isn't that Christ didn't die for your sins. But you put him in such a precarious place to where the blood cannot atone for your sins. For willful sin, there is no atonement. For the Bible teaches that when a man comes to the knowledge of the truth, after that he hath known about Jesus and understood the gospel, once he comes to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to a fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. And so then you know there is no remission for willful sin. The blood was not shed for willful sin. So when you come to the understanding of sin and you continue to sin, then you must pay for it. You must pay for it. You know, I would love to say so many things tonight, but I know it's hot and uncomfortable, and I took quite a while here in reading the scriptures. I appreciate you bearing with me tonight. But beloved friend, let me tell you, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. You're going to die. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're educated, or whether you're not. It doesn't matter. The thing is, the soul that sins is going to die. You're going to die if you sin. And the Bible said to know to do good, and then to do it not, to him it is a sin. You know to do good because I've told you. You know what righteousness is because you've been told. America today knows what's right and what's wrong. And she's at the end of the trail because of it. Because in that she knows, she doesn't do it. And she's continuing on, and now it is sin. And God, the great judge, must of necessity punish sin. Remember that. He must of necessity punish sin. It's not as to whether he would want to or wouldn't want to. That doesn't even come into the picture. He must, of necessity, punish sin. So then, that means that something has taken place. And even with this meeting, it denotes the end of the world. I want you to stand with me. Even in this meeting, it denotes the end of the world. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing that chorus, to be like Jesus, can we? To be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like him. Can you sing it with me? From Bethlehem's manger came forth a stranger. On the earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only am to be like him. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. On the earth I long to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like him,
Don't you want to be like Jesus? Wouldn't you like to be like Jesus? Who else would you want to be like? Jesus. Let's sing that song together, can we? Jesus, Jesus, sweet Jesus. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer, much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. Sing it again now. Oh, Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are brighter than the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. One more time. What a wonder you are, than the morning star. You're much fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. You're more precious than gold. Oh, there's room down at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. You love the Lord? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I want you to lift your hands up with me. Let's think on the Lord for just a minute. My, that water is so good. I turn up the glass. And then I look out here and I see people before me. And there's people that's listening to my voice. And I know that out of some of you, men and women alike,
that in spite of all that God has done, all that I can do, that you're still going to lift your eyes up in hell. Not a drink, not a drink, not one thing to cool the parching tongue or to quench the thirst of your soul. In spite of all that I can do, Jesus died with a broken heart. His heart burst. He had pleaded. He had taken the nails. He had said to the people, "You don't know how horrible it is," he said. "You don't know." See, Jesus has been there. "You don't know. Do all that you can." He said, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. Once the Master has risen up and shut to the door, many shall cry from without. And they'll plead and they'll say, 'Let me in.' But it'll be too late. The door will be closed. The door will be shut." So tonight, while I'm speaking to you, or while you're listening to me, heed the voice of the Lord. Let's step down from where you're at. Let's step out from the seats. Let's come down to the altars. And let's lay our souls and hearts on the altar again and again and again in showing the Lord that this is what you want. That you're going to walk with Him. That you're going to be saved. And that you're going to have of that water to drink. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel that Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the Bible said, "It shall not be you speaking, but your heavenly Father speaking from within you." I can hear Him talking to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How wonderful to yield to the Spirit of God. God is the Father of spirits, and He is the Spirit of holiness. Paul said, "The God whom I serve with my spirit." And God is calling you. And your spirit must yield to the Spirit of God to be one with God, for God to dwell in your temple, and for you and for God to be one. When the gospel has been published in all of the world, the gospel has been preached to every creature, then shall the end come. Then shall the end come. And did you know it's about going around the world through satellite, through world evangelism, native missionary evangelism? All of these things is about going around the world. And the end is here. And God is going to reward the people with these plagues. The book of Revelation tells us that these things that we spoke of tonight will be poured out upon the kingdom of the Antichrist. And the Bible said, "And their bodies will be filled with sores, and they'll gnaw their tongues for pain. And darkness will fill the kingdom." All of these things. I wish we had had time tonight to really elaborate on these things. It's a great hour. It's a great moment. It's a sad moment. It's a time to be fearful in His presence. What a moment. The songwriter said, "I surrender all, Lord. I surrender all. All to Thee, Lord, I surrender. I surrender all." Let's sing this little song, "A Great Day A Coming." There's a great day coming, great day coming. There's a great day that's coming after a while, when the sinner and the saint shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that great day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready?
ready for that great day to come. Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for that great day to come. There's a great day a-coming. A great day coming. There's a great day coming after a while, when the sinner and the saint shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that great day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for that great day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Ready for that great day to come?
I want you to lift your hands up with me. While you're standing here for just a moment, if you've never become a Christian, then let me invite you to become a Christian. I want to remind you, as I do so often, being a believer is not sufficient. You say, Brother Plank, I've made the commitment. I'm a believer. Being a believer is not sufficient. Just being a believer is not sufficient. Believing, just mere believing, is not faith. Remember that. You say, then what is faith, Brother Pye? Faith is believing in the Word. The Bible said faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. You say, oh no, Brother Pye, if I believe, then that's good enough. The Bible said if you believe, you do well. But the devil believes and trembles. But remember, the devil doesn't have faith, but he does believe. So then mere believing is not faith. The Bible said faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. And the Bible tells us that in the last days they shall depart from the Word. Or that is, they shall depart from the faith, it says. Which means the Word. And they'll go on believing. And they'll go on being religious. And it'll be so close it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. But they won't have faith. And hundreds and millions of people at the end of the way will be turned away because they don't have faith. Faith by the hearing of the Word, which means when the preacher says something or when the Word says something, if the preacher is speaking that from the Word, then you are under obligation to God to believe it. That's faith. If you believe it, then you will obey it. The writer said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my works. And that way you'll see my faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. That is, you show me that you believe without honoring and obeying the Word of God. And I'll show you that I believe by doing the things that the Word of God says. You do what you believe, folks. Remember that. Whatever you believe, that's what you practice. If you believe in eating and drinking and talking and riding and buying and selling and visiting and watching TVs, reading magazines and books, lounging around the house and doing nothing, sewing or whatever, that's what you believe, that's what you do. If you believe that you've got to work out on a job X amount of hours a day to feed your family, to help pay the bills, then that's what you do. If you believe in hunting and fishing and riding and frolicking, that's what you do. And if you believe in God and you believe in holiness and you believe in the things of God and you believe in helping the poor and you believe in helping the needy and you believe in living an overcoming life, that's what you will do. Whatever you do, that is what you believe in. So then let me invite you to put your believing in the Word of God, and then you'll have faith and you'll have salvation. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death because he believed the Word of God. For the Bible said he had this testimony before his translation, that he pleased God. You can't please God without faith. Faith in the Word of the Lord. Doing what the Lord tells you to do. Noah
did what the Lord told him to do, and he saved his household. Rahab the harlot believed the words of the spies, and she did exactly what she was told to do, and she saved her whole household. And even though she had been the wrong kind of person, God forgave her, and God saved her and her whole household. Others that was not as wretched and vile as she was, yet God did not save them because they did not have faith in his word. All right, let's lift our hands up together while we're standing here. There is a person that is a very religious person, a woman, very religious. But you haven't honored the Lord, you haven't obeyed God, you haven't walked after the Lord. You have been fascinated with your own body. Do you hear what I'm saying? Your own face, your own appearance, and your own body. You've actually been fascinated with it to the extent that you've esteemed yourself in such a way that you've not even honored the desires of your husband as to his desires. And I might add this, your husband has been in great error, very great error, from personal ambition. But his life is changing. It's changing. You've got by with what you've done. You've not been honest with him, straight with him. And you've got by with it. But let me tell you something. He's beginning to find God. And you aren't going to get by with it anymore. So let me advise you to forget about self. And let me advise you to forget about the things that you've been interested in. And let me advise you to get in and be a good, godly, holy woman for your own sake and for the sake of your soul. Let's just lift our hands up together. Love the Lord. And while we're standing here tonight, I want to pray with you. And I want to ask God to do something for you. Father God of heaven, as we lift our hands to thee tonight, we know that it's hot and uncomfortable with the people, but we also know that Calvary was a terrible ordeal in our behalf, Father. And this is but a mild thing, O God, is to test the heart, to see if there's any loyalty and sincerity that you might save us in the day of the judgment. I ask you to reach out tonight, Father, to forgive sins. Lord, heal bodies. And even the woman that I spoke of tonight, forgive her her sins. Oh, Lord, and help her to see and help her to understand. Oh, God, tonight, reach out over this audience. Father, to heal their bodies. Help them to decree in their heart that they're going to be healthy and strong by the faith of Christ Jesus and by his finished work. Lord, that they're going to live an overcoming life. Oh, God, I ask you to bless them tonight. Bless my brothers and sisters. Give them peace and give them rest. And those that have attended this meeting that's come to try to help us, Father, those that are coming from so far to be with us here at the sanctuary, I want a special protection over them. I want a special blessing over them. I want you to watch over them in Jesus' name, even as you watched over Brother Lynn and family the other night, having prayed many times for their protection. Oh, God, you kept them safe in Jesus' lovely name. No doubt, Father, when others might have lost their lives. So tonight, as I look unto you, I want you to do this for me. In Jesus' sweet, wonderful name. Let's sing this chorus together, and I'll let you go. I'm not going to hold you long to sing choruses tonight. We've had a lot of choruses, a lot of singing, a lot of clapping of the hands, a lot of hollering, a lot of praising God. I mean, real hollering and praising God and clapping the hands and real genuine from the heart. So I'm not going to keep you late tonight. Don't forget the service is Sunday morning and Sunday night. Help us do something. We're fixing to make a move around the world, especially around the different parts of the nation. And we solicit your help so far as prayer and a helping hand in coming. Not asking for your finance, but your prayer and a helping hand. God will meet the needs. Paul said, you just pray that God will open the doors for us. He'll meet the needs. Let's sing this song. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we want to publish it around the world. It's because it is our staunch conviction that everybody ought to know who Jesus is.
So if you feel that way, then you join forces with us and let's work together. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and my morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star, and he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. You know what? You might have wondered the other night why I was so strong with the boy when he got up to sing and started to squirming around like a snake playing the guitar. You might have wondered why that I gave the strong rebuke that I did. But see, it's like the little lad over in the corner. I saw him then, and he wanted to do like that boy. He wanted to wiggle like a snake. And he wanted the boys to watch him, but some of them was real sober-minded and wouldn't do it. See, the little fellow's innocent. He don't know. But that shows you what that kind of thing can do. I saw people in here, you know, and they was just like that. Pathetic. I'm talking about praying people. I'm talking about fasting people. I saw them like that. See, it was that old anointing of the snake. And it began to move out, and people began to get in the flesh. Where they hang their guitars around their necks, and they begin to strum and sing and coo and go on, something begins to happen. The Bible teaches that we're to pray in the Spirit. We're to sing in the Spirit. If we preach, we should preach in the Spirit. When we walk, we should walk in the Spirit. Did you know the Bible said that women will walk mincing with their feet as they go to catch the eyes of a man? Did you know that? That they mince with their feet as they go. And did you know that men will strut and walk and do certain ways to catch women's attention just walking across the grounds? All of that is evil. All of that is ungodly, and you'll pay a price for that. Sickness, sorrow, loss of whatever, and then if you're not careful, you'll die in hell. Let's sing this one chorus, and we're going to let you go. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Cunning to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, they're coming to carry me home. Tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Let's bow our heads together. Coming to carry me home. Don't you want to be like Jesus? Give your heart and soul and mind, all of your body to His cause, to be a lovely lady for Jesus, to be a wonderful gentleman for Jesus. Wouldn't you like to do that? To have a holy heart, a godly heart, a lovable heart, a kind, sweet heart, filled with the glory of His presence, filled with the glory of His wonderful being. Wouldn't you like to be like that? You can, folks. Jesus is looking for a man. Jesus is looking for a woman. Jesus is looking for someone. Doesn't matter race, creed, or color. Doesn't matter man, woman, boy, girl. God's used them of all ages, of all people. God's looking for someone. Looking for someone. While you're standing here with your heads bowed and your hands lifted up, I want to say again that we've enjoyed the camp meeting. Don't forget Sunday morning. Don't forget to come back and be with us. Tell somebody about Jesus. Let your cup run over. Let another one get a drink. Do something good so that men will praise you in a good thing and they'll see your light and glorify your Father which is in heaven. While you're standing here with your heads bowed, I'm going to ask Brother Lynn Lunderbaugh if he'll come up and dismiss us. While Lynn's coming to pray, let's reverence the Lord.